Welcome to Mindfully Integrative Podcast with your host, Dr. Damaris G. Mindfully Integrative is a podcast discussing ways toward mindfully incorporating integrative health into our lives. This podcast will have informative resources, fun topics, interviews, and discussions relatable for today with a true mindful perspective in a mind-body holistic life approach.
Hello. This is Dr. Damaris Maria Grossman, and thank you again for joining in on the Mindfully Integrative Podcast. And I just wanted to let you know of our upcoming events and things. So if you want to know and reach out, our resources and our membership is opening soon. So check out mindfullyintegrative.com for more fun and more info. Thanks so much, and talk with you soon.
Hi, how are you? This is Damaris Maria Grossman, and this is the Mindfully Integrative Show. Today, we have an amazing guest, and I really can't wait for you guys to meet him. His name is Indra Rinsler, and he has a plethora of information and knowledge to share, to be a part of, to help you connect. He is an astrologist, but I really think that's just the touch of what he does. He connects with so many people, and I'm so glad that I've been able to see him and meet him through these different connections. And I really believe that I want to know more about him, and I want you guys to learn more about him and applying this in a way to integrative health. I feel like he's been spending 50 years in integrative health, and he's a lot to offer. So thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to see what happens today.
As I tell those on the podcast, you know, is there a little small fun fact that people don't know about you?
Well, I'm a world traveler. I have, besides the last couple of winters where we couldn't really travel because of reasons, right. I have only been in the U.S. one winter since 1998.
Wow. I'm jealous. Like, so do you go all over? Where do you go?
I mostly go to Asia. I was an importer for 12 years. I imported spiritual items from and handicrafts, singing bowls, textiles, bags, scarves, jewelry from all over the world. I went wherever I could go to find well-made, inexpensive things that I could bring into the U.S. and I sold wholesale. I sold out of a VW van. We had 200 stores at the height, and it was a lot of fun. But I got to be in. I was traveling 4 months in the winter and 2 months in the summer for a few years, and mostly in Asia, but all over the world.
Wow! Did you have a few spots that were either just memorable or that you have to go back to?
Well, I don't know that I have to go back to anything, but I mean, obviously, India is the mother country, and I spent a lot of time there. I talk about Mongolia, which is a place that most people haven't gotten to. It's an incredible place. The largest horse-to-human ratio in the world, no fences. Very incredible people. Ethiopia was an amazing place. Turkey, Morocco, Guatemala, Peru is a really beautiful country. There's some really fabulous places. I learned that the people are the same everywhere, that we have to use this passport to get from one place to another. But the fact is that the people don't change over this imaginary line. People are the same everywhere. And I got, as I traveled so much, I got smaller in the sense of my ego got smaller, my needs got smaller, and I was satisfied by smaller and smaller things. The beauty of a place that you've never heard of or that you have heard of, the look of people and the small things, they took me to, I spent many bus rides looking out the window, just crying my eyes out at the beauty that I was feeling.
There were moments where you realized that it's just the simple stuff, not the excess.
Absolutely. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Talk about good health. There you go, right there. Let's sum that up.
I think you have such a history, you know, just as a yogi. And we were just talking earlier about your 20 years in the yoga community and living. Would you like to talk about that, your spiritual community, or would you like to talk? I mean, you have such an array of interesting things that I'd love to touch about, but you know,
well, I'm happy to talk whatever you want. I'm happy to talk about whatever you want.
Yeah. So, I mean, how about the, you know, initially, like, I mean, I say integrative health, but you know, health really is a whole encompassing of many things. And, you know, it's meeting individuals like yourself that have been able to see the simplicity of what it can be to be better overall. It's sometimes when it's just, I tell someone, no, it's just calming of the mind and a little bit of water. They go, no, that can't be it. And sometimes you're like, okay. But I think you've spent many of years understanding and detaching from a lot of this world per se. So if you'd like to talk a little bit on your story and whatever you like and that part for so far.
Sure, I'd be happy to do that. You know, for them, it may not be as simple as a good thought and a glass of water. So they're right.
Right.
They may have other things in the way, but I grew up near you in Manhattan. My father was a cardiologist, and so I don't know. Is there still professional courtesy? I grew up with professional courtesy, and even at that time, I remember. So the story was that my mother passed a week after I graduated college. And my father died of a heart attack. A cardiologist died of a heart attack 2 years later. And I remember, so I was young, but I remember that my father was already an old kind of doctor, you know, the home visits and the caring for the patient and knowing the patients. I mean, now 50 years later, it's obviously the difference. But I remember back then, even then, that there were that I was never really in the system because of this professional courtesy. I would get treated for free and I would sort of come in the side door rather than the front door. And so I was never really in the healthcare industry. But when I first moved to California, now my parents have passed on and I'm I had some inheritance, so I was a little bit free, and I realized fairly quickly on that what I really needed to do was to find myself, to find joy within myself, to find my true nature. And I became though we didn't say it the same way back then, I don't know exactly what I said at the time, but when I first moved to California, I had been wearing glasses for driving. My eyes weren't that bad, but I'd been wearing glasses for driving for 8 or 10 years. And we got this idea that if we stopped wearing the glasses, then our eyes would get better. And I started being a vegetarian, 1970. And within 6 months, I didn't need to wear the glasses, and I've never worn the glasses since. And I started passing the driving test without needing the glasses. And I always considered that to be I don't know why it changed, but it seemed to be kind of this new consciousness. I when I first got to California, we learned about natural food stores and vegetarianism and new ways of healing. And so in this, as you correctly intuited, that my story is that was the integration right there, that the health has never really been a problem. And even today, when I have clients, astrology clients, that want to know about their health, I can't really answer them. There are medical astrologers, and some of them are very good, but it isn't anything that I'm particularly interested in. But what I am interested in and know something about is the mind-body connection. And so if you want to get your body better, you better get your mind better. And I remember sitting with an Indian astrologer one time in India. And so I quickly gave him my chart and he looked at it about 2 minutes. He said, "Your grandmother's knees are bad." And I said to him, Well, everybody that knew my grandmother, who died more than 30 years ago, knew that she had bad knees. But I thought to myself, what does that do for me?
Oh, knowing your genetic history from about your grandmother. I mean, it's just maybe a somewhat of a story, but that doesn't tell you who you are going to be per se. It may give you an idea, but it doesn't directly say that's what your story is going to be. I think people assume that is,
so
you know, when I give the genetics, I mean, but yet I feel like it's more of maybe it gives me that somewhat of an idea when I talk to a patient, but that doesn't mean that means that is their story, right?
Yes. And the point of it for me is that the astrologer thought that was the important thing to tell. That was the thing that he noticed.
Really?
And the point is that many astrologers, not to diss on astrologers, and many doctors and many therapists and many everybody's, you know, entrepreneurs, many, many teachers, they all focus on things that are about their story, but not really about our story. And so the point is, I really feel, by the way, I have to say, I really feel a lot of intuition from you. I think that you really have a gift that way. And the point of it is to be intuitive for yourself. It's not about being secure by knowing what other people know, but it's about finding yourself within that intuition, using that tool in order to be the pry bar for your own awakening, your own conscious growth. I'm not talking specifically to you, but I'm talking to, it just seems like something I wanted to, I feel to say right at the moment. So what I'm saying is that the astrologer says that your grandmother's knees are bad. And I think, well, what does that really have to do? Maybe it has to do with my genetics, but it was really that it wasn't really using the tool for what the tool is. This is a tool for my own awakening. It was a tool. It was a way to give me, this is what he could see. This is what information he wanted to share. And so we have to, in order to wake up, in order to be integrated mindfully, in order to be healthy, and I don't mean just, you know, doctor health, healthy.
Mm-hmm. Right. We're talking a whole bunch of different things.
Yeah. We have to find what's true for us. We have to find a common denominator. We have to find what serves, what are our particular needs and what do we need to find within ourselves. And so at 70, in 1970, I began more than 30 years of being a vegetarian, and I never really had health problems. And I was given this gift of freedom by my parents passing. I was not, I mean, there were things taken away, but there were, when a door closes, a door opens. And so the door that opened was the ability to be able to dedicate my life to exploring who I am in order to be able to help people find out who they are. That I don't want to, I promote myself. One of my taglines, as such as it is that I don't want to, I'm not interested in giving you a better story. The better story is no story. That's what I'm trying to do, is to get you out of stories.
Out of stories.
That's the better story. Because mm-hmm. of whether it's the bigger TV or whether it's the faster time or the you know, more weights, or whether it's the better job or the handsomer guy or the bigger house, they're never satisfying. It's always something else. And it's the ability to see through those needs that create what brings us peace that lasts. What brings us peace that's long lasting? Because all of the outward experiences disappear. You know, if we have the perfect meal, then we still get hungry. If we have intimacy, then, you know, whether it's an hour or a week or a year later, it's more. Yeah. So what is no more? And so what the no more is the peace within us, is the moment, is the being complete within the moment, and then nothing touches you. And in that space, we can be free to enjoy the moment of everything, and that moment never leaves.
I think that being in that present moment and that peace moments, they're so good when you really can sit with them. But I think it's learning to keep getting back to that, right? And that struggle, good and bad, you know, sometimes the struggle, sometimes it's not, you know, but not everybody is even able to sit or not sit to understand.
Well, everybody has to get out of the way, whatever their barriers are. And that's the job, you know, that's why we're here, is to disassociate ourselves, to let go of whatever is holding us in the place. And what's holding you may not be may be similar to what's holding me, but it may not be the same. And so we need universal advice rather than specific advice. So the advice is get free. It doesn't mean get free of wanting it, you know, wanting this or wanting that. It just says get free. And so that is whatever is holding me. That's the goal. And it's not about generalizing. It's about universalizing. It's about having this discrimination and discernment to be able to feel the right direction. And so the right direction is clear within you as long as you're not blocking it.
As I'm listening to that, I think about my own blocks right now. I'm like, oh, and then I think about, oh, did that open today? Did that not? wait.
So the process. So the process is to let go of that thinking. So if I'm in meditation and I start thinking, it's not about finishing the thought. It's about ending it right there, because whatever it goes, it doesn't matter. And I want to say, you used this before. I want to say there is no good and bad. There are no mistakes. It isn't right and wrong. It isn't that some is better and some is not better. Sure, there are shorter paths. There are more direct routes. But you can go, if you're in New Jersey and you want to go to New York, you got to go east.
Right.
I think. Yeah, you got to go east. But you can get there by going west, north. But you just have to go really far.
Yeah, the directions are different, but there's a way to get there somehow.
Yeah. So it's really about, then it becomes the most direct path. And it's about getting frustrated with doing the same, you know, having the same lesson over and over again, the same relationship lesson, the same job lesson, the same landlord lesson, whether you're a landlord or a tenant, the same car lesson, whatever it is, you know, it's about you're deciding that you don't want to, you've learned, you don't want to do that anymore.
So like you're saying in the parts, because you've been a yogi for quite a long time, as I say, you've been practicing. But you have such a diverse background in, well, we were talking about your astrology, but that's just one area. The human physiology of, I don't even say it right, but Enneagram. How do I say that?
Enneagram. Yeah.
Enneagram and the intuition, as we were stating previous. I feel like you probably meet individuals and kind of just sense how they may be or may not be. Would you like to talk a little bit about some of your tools that you use for your, I don't even know what you call them, clients, individuals, people,
clients? I do a little bit of marketing, but I'm not really big into marketing because
I don't think you need to market. You're who you are.
Well,
I only market because this is my platform, but that's it.
Well, I need to market because I need to market.
Yeah.
Because I need to do a little shouting. I need to be secure in myself to be able to stand up and say, hey, I got a booth over here. Come over for a reading if you want. You know, I need to do that. I had a friend. He didn't need to do that. He decided one time he wanted to be a musician, and he got 400 people, and he was in India. He got 400 people to a concert. He didn't need to advertise. I need to advertise, on the other hand. But the clients, they're sent. The people that come see me are sent, and it's not for everybody what I do. And so those people that feel the intuition, they connect with me. So the readings, I call the readings I offer life readings. I like to take at least 3 hours to take people through three different modalities. The Enneagram of Personality, it's the 9 personality. There are 9 personality types, and it gives us our core triggers. It helps us to understand the patterning in our personality. These 9 personality types, they're a wonderful psychological tool, but they're even better to help us know ourselves and to help us have better relationships. But they're even more unusual as a spiritual tool to help us to get back into the moment. Psychology doesn't really have an end game. The end game is to observe behavior. But in spirituality, we have the end game of getting back into the moment. And so to understand what our core triggers are and to be able to let those core triggers go and to allow ourselves to react from them and then to release and let go that reaction helps people to wake up to who they really are. I say that I want to help you to wake up to who you really are, not who you think you are. That's the personality. But we are essence. The reading is essence to essence. And so the idea is to let go of these definitions in order to become who we really are, where there are no definitions. There's no need for definition. We're just a soul. We're an essence. We're a being having a human experience. And while boy, girl, man, woman, East Coaster, West Coaster, it can be helpful. It's not really that important in the squinty-eyed view of life. When we sit in that moment, confrontation with our maker, these things aren't really very important. And so the second modality I use is Vedic astrology, the astrology of India. Again, I'm interested in the strengths and weaknesses of the planets. I'm not interested in boxing you in. I'm interested in helping people to know what their strengths and weaknesses are and why you act the way you do in order to be able to let go of those needs of acting. We can overcome our weaknesses, and how we do that is by integrating them into our life by being conscious of them and by working at them. And the planets are neutral. The planets don't care, but it's our reactions to a weak planet, being in a particular location where it is hard for it to for us to feel its pure energy, because it's in a fire sign, a fire planet in a watery sign. It's just difficult. It just makes it difficult. It's like if you're in a lush tropical rainforest and it's really rainy and you have plenty of water, that's one thing. But if you're on a desert, water is not very much water. And so when you've got a watery planet in a non-watery house and sign, it creates a challenge. And so that's as far as I go. The rest of it is a lot of noise. And it gives our power away. The astrologers, astrology is demoralizing. It takes our power away because we don't really understand it, and we don't understand all the influences, and they give us that this is good and this is bad and this is this and this is that and this is that, and we go headache. And so I want to get rid of the headache, and the headache is here's what you're good at and here's what you're not good at. And then the third modality I use in the reading is called the Wheel of Totality. And it's the empty houses, that each house has an awareness. But if we don't have a planet in that house, then that's a blank spot or a place of ignorance. A place of ignorance. There are 9 houses. There are not 12 houses and 9 planets. And so ignorance is built into the system. There are things for us to learn. There are skills that we don't have. And those particular skills, we don't necessarily even work on them until we're 50. Why is that? You might ask, is because in 20s and 30s, we're mostly building up ego. We're not interested in our deficiencies.
That makes sense.
And if you tell it,
on your stuff. You're working on your stuff and the this and the that and da da da.
Yeah, that you're trying to feel secure within yourself. You're trying to express yourself. You're trying to get noticed. You're needing to be seen. You're needing to come into your power, which isn't really your power. It isn't your power. It isn't your peace. And it isn't my wisdom. It's just wisdom. It's just peace. It's just power. It's not ours. And it isn't 50, until
it just hits. It hits you.
Well, at 50, you know, at 50. So if I like to say at 20, if I say open your heart, you're going to say my heart's open. But right, if you're 50, if you're 50 and you say open your heart, you're going to say, well, you're the third person that told me that this week. What do I do? And so the difference is that in your early 40s, you get tired. Is that like in the late 30s and the early 40s, 35, I call the height of arrogance, is that we know better than everybody. And so in the late 30s, you begin to realize maybe I don't know so much. And by the early 40s, you're the furthest from senior discount and teen discount. I don't know, youth discount. And so you're carrying the weight for everybody and you're tired, whether you've got kids or not, or family or not, you're getting tired. And in that tiredness, you start opening up. And in that opening up, by the late 40s and the 50s, then you're beginning to say, well, what do I need to know? What is holding me back? You know, you have your midlife crisis and you have your first divorce or second divorce or third divorce. And you say, what is trying to happen here? And so in that openness happens, and in that openness is the possibility to then drop what doesn't serve us.
That's pretty deep there, Indra. That's a lot. It's a lot here for me to tap and discuss. I let's touch on the let's touch on this wheel of totality.
Okay.
And a little bit of that. And maybe, honestly, I feel like you have so much to discuss. So I feel like I want you back on this podcast because I could talk about an hour probably on each of these areas of your expertise. Or how about recently when you've been with a client or even a family member, what have you found that has helped them kind of recenter or do nothing, Joe? I guess you're saying less blocks.
Well, I have a client later today and I don't really know her story at all, but, you know, she's about to go into a new planetary period. She's, I think 35. And so she's about to end in 6 months. She's going to end a planetary period that is 19 years long. And so she's never really changed planetary period as an adult.
Wow. Yeah. See, I'm totally unsure what.
So there's
I'm 40.
So
So
the planetary periods are periods in our life that go from 6 to 20 years. There's a set amount of time. The variable is where we start.
Where we start.
Where we start, you know, it's like that old $1 million movie. I don't think they still do that on Channel 9 in New York, or I think it was Channel 9, that they used to watch. They'd play the same movie in the 50s and 60s. They play the same movie like 20 times in the week. And after you'd seen it, it didn't really matter where you started watching it again, if you wanted to watch it again, because you'd already knew the movie and you could watch, you know. In New York, we used to walk into a movie at the end. We didn't really care. And then you'd start and you'd say, oh, I see how it all fits together. So you start where you start. And so she's about to change, go into a new planetary period. And she's been in a particular period that's been very inward and not easy for an adolescent and for a 20s and 30s, because it's not a groupie thing. It's more individual. It's like living in a cave. And she's about to, that's her whole life is about to totally change. And the reason she wants the reading, and I don't know this yet, but usually it's because she knows this, that she can feel that this change is coming on. And she may not be able to discern it as specifically as I can, because I can see it from the outside and I can analyze it from, you know, 1,000 clients. But the thing is that she knows that something is about to change, and she might have anxiety about it. She may be really excited about it, but I can help with that transition because I can put it into words with her. I can sense it and I can explain it to her, and I can probably, you know, I ask at the beginning, well, what's up for you? And she'll, you know, within two sentences, I can say, well, yes, I see you do understand that the change is coming on, because she will tell me in her own words, which very often will be meticulous in their understanding. And using and exactly explaining what I'm trying to explain to her astrologically without having any idea of what it is, what I'm, you know, the astrological change is coming up, but they can feel it in their body and they can feel it in their experience, and they can feel the anxiety of the leaving a cycle and coming into a new one, or whatever the specifics are. They can be incredibly clear about it, but still. So what I call this, that they have the puzzle parts. I do tell things that are new to people, but most of the time, most of what I say, they know, but they don't know how to put the puzzle part together. And so
a lot of us don't know. I mean,
yes. So I make the puzzle out of it, and then they can clearly see. And if they never do anything with anything that I've told them in 3+ hours, it doesn't really matter, because the seeds have germinated. But the fact is that if you work with it and you learn to observe when you go into your patterns, then you can more quickly let go of the you can more quickly bring in the changes you want in your life, and you can more quickly let go of the patterns that don't serve you.
I mean, you bring up such a good point about the patterns and where they go. And like you said, no good, no bad, but understanding the patterns, I think that is a challenge for, I would say, almost everyone, myself included at times, depending upon the pattern it is. When you were going through your own journey to dislodge or unblock these things, did these tools that you learned, the astrology, the human personality, I'm saying the Enneagram, is it Enneagram?
Enneagram.
Enneagram and the Wheel of Totality and your yogic teachings, was there one, or is it, do you feel that each part of these tools are vastly important to changing your patterns when you were working on your transition?
I like to say that the reason we teach what we teach is because that's what we need to learn.
Okay, that makes sense.
And so the thing is that I'm probably the most arrogant of all the clients I have. Is that I need to be hit over this, you know, every day. You know, I have to be hit over the head.
And you're saying, hey, this is what it is, and this is who I am, and that's okay. And I got to keep going on it and work on it today, and that's all right. That's like, but you're aware, and you keep resetting and that's amazing.
Absolutely. But at the same time, the arrogance comes in and says, well, they need to do it, but I don't need to do it. Or it comes in and it says that I got this, you know, that I, because I've been teaching it, or I know about it, I read about it, you know. It's like the word karma. Just, it's not about karma, but it's the word karma, is that, you know, when, you know, in 1970, when we heard the word karma, it was like, oh, what is that? And, you know, and they said, well, it's this, this, and this. And then you said, oh, okay, I get it. Now, 6 months later, you say, oh, well, that's your karma. And you, and the person says to you, well, what's karma? And you say, oh, well, it's da da da. Don't you know? And it's like, now karma is everywhere. So after 50 years, I should be really clear that I shouldn't, my karma shouldn't hold me back anymore, using now karma in the way that it's used, because I've been working with it for 50 years. Well, that's arrogance. Yeah. because how many stories did we hear about doctors who were unhealthy?
I can go through the list of it.
I mean, you know,
my favorite is when, like you said, the person I just had a client tell me the other day, they're like, oh yeah, my cardiologist told me, my overweight cardiologist told me to, I need to lose weight. Your overweight cardiologist told you that. Okay. Yeah. So and they said, I need to talk to you. Okay. Let's have another conversation about this in a minute. Anyway,
I remember we used to talk about the med school guys, what the refrigerator looked like.
I can imagine.
So there's a story I want to share in here. I think you might like.
I would
like.
Love for you to share.
So there's a story about Mahatma Gandhi. So a mother came to him. I don't know that this is true, but this is a story I heard, you know, centuries ago. So a mother came to him and said, will you tell my kid not to eat sugar? So Mahatma Gandhi said to her, will you bring your son back in a week? And she said, okay. So she came back in a week and she said, will you tell my kid not to eat sugar? And he said, don't eat sugar, kid. And she said, why do we have to come back in a week? He said, well, a week ago I was eating sugar, but now I'm not eating sugar.
Oh, God. But now he's not eating it. So
now he's not eating sugar. Yeah. So now he can tell the kid not to eat sugar. So that's integrity.
And but that's integrity. That's
integrity. And the overweight doctor, he may not have much integrity. He may have book knowledge, but he doesn't have integrity. But that does not change for your client or your friend. That does not change the value that she may need to lose weight.
Oh, no. It's not that she doesn't need to lose weight. I mean, she was one of my clients. And yes, there is that need, but there's also the who is directing you that information, right?
That's a mental process, and that she needs to let go of. That's what she needs to let go of. It doesn't matter who.
Well, then I even have to let go, because I have to say, as a person of, you know, education and advising individuals, it is kind of tough when I do what I do in my, you know, my little world of life, but I just try to build up as much integrity as possible with anyone that I work with, whether I work with them or they're just in my life, you know. But that's, you know, all of us are different, right?
Well, I think my point is that the lack of integrity of the doctor, we use that as a crutch or as a blindfold to ignore the fact that he's telling me that for my own health, I need to lose weight. And so the idea is to ignore the mind saying, what does he know? He doesn't lose any weight, and say, hey, the truth here is beyond is the fact that if I'm concerned about my health, if I'm concerned about my mental health, if I'm concerned about my physical health, if I'm concerned about being a good mother to my kids and staying around a long time and to my grandkids and seeing my grandkids, maybe I need to lose weight, and I need to let go of the idea that maybe it's not such a good idea because the doctor didn't lose weight. That's where we're avoiding the point.
The real truth, the real root of that. Yes, I see what you mean. I'm gonna reset some of that. I'm kind of observe when some people say it and say, you know, it's still them working on them, right? Still having to work inward. So kind of. They have to reset.
I had a client recently that is a therapist, and she was talking about somebody in her life who was a narcissist or something like that. And she, when she said it, you could feel the anger and the clinician in that. And I said to her, you know, it may be that she is, but I would let go of that idea, because you're boxing them in and you're boxing yourself in by holding them in that particular position.
True. I you come with such great points today. Oh, I'm going to be sitting with this today, some of our conversation and re-listening. I have to have you on again, because I have so much more I want to talk about. So I'd like to just leave the audience, those watching and those listening, with a little bit, you know, extra tidbit, mindful way I call it, but that you would like to share or guide those.
So at the end of the reading, people say to me, this is great, Indra. Now, what do I do with it? And so what came to me is something I call the four doorways to conscious living. And so the first doorway is to learn to observe, is to watch your own behavior, is to watch your own thinking, is to watch your reaction to how other people come on to you or don't come on to you. And I said one time in a podcast, I said, do you brush your dog before you go to the park or after you go to the park? You know, watch that, because it tells something about you. And so you want to learn to observe. You want to be really meticulous about watching your own behavior and your own actions and your own thinking and how it might change in a situation, how you might act and dress with your girlfriends, and how you might act with your co-workers, and how you might act with your church, and how you might act with your relatives and your intimate ones. And so it's all information, and it's all there for you. And it's all God shouting at us, wake up, dear one, you're so loved, wake up. And so the second doorway is to let go and release what doesn't serve you. And letting go is about being in the moment. It's about not having a thought. It's not judging. There's no right or wrong. It's just letting it go. It's finding it in your body and releasing it. We don't have to know what it is in order to release it. But when we feel a tension, is to be able to release these things that hold us back, that keep us in a place. The third doorway is to love yourself. And the fourth is to live in the moment. And so if you're living in the moment, you can't help but love yourself. There is no other way. If you're not loving yourself, then you're not truly in the moment. So how do I love myself? Well, we let go and release what doesn't serve us. And that may mean that there are things that the weight, going back to this analogy, the weight, she may not be ready to lose her weight yet. And that's okay. At this moment, that weight may serve her. And it may be that her opinion of the doctor, which I agree, but what the doctor says or don't says, that may serve her now too. If she may not be ready to let go of that, but when you're ready, let go and release what doesn't serve you. And how do I know what to let go and release? You just learn to observe, just watch. You make a list if you're a lister. And see what these things are and notice the patterns. And in learning to observe, then you'll find the material to let go of. And when you've let go enough, then you will love yourself and you will be in the moment.
Breathe on that one. Love it. I also would love those listening, and I'll have in the show notes all of your information, but how can those reach you and get a hold of you if they'd like to find out
more? So I have a website, indrarinsler.com, and there's a lot of information about me and about what I offer there. If you're interested in writing, I have indrarinsler@gmail.com. If you have questions, I'm happy to answer them. I like to give listeners a free offer. If you're interested in your Vedic astrology chart, I'll send it to you, and I'll give you a little bit of how to read it, you know, the cheat sheet on what it, you know, not what it means, but what it means as far as where the planets are and stuff. So email me that I need three pieces of information: the date of your birth, the time of your birth, and the place of your birth. And if you email me that, I'll send it back to you. And I'll also offer you to take I'll send you the free Enneagram of Personality test. Enneagram, by the way, comes from Greek. It means nine-sided figure. And so it's a combination of three geometric shapes that have 9 points. And we can put anything at those points. And about 60 years ago, a psychologist who is very spiritual put personalities at the points. And so there's a test that takes 5 or 10 minutes. And for many of you, it will tell you your Enneagram point, and then you can begin the study of what that means. To have a personality type. We have one core personality type. It's at our deepest point, and its triggers are our deepest triggers. And by understanding what it is, it helps us to let that go. Also, can be active on Facebook if people want to connect there. It's under my name. So
I love it. Well, no, I appreciate it. Thank you so much, Indra. It's been such a pleasure having you on the show and you taking the time and your moments here. You have so much to offer those that are listening and those watching. So I just wanted to say thank you so much for being here and just bringing a little bit of that. As I always say, like I try to talk about peace within, but you've definitely practiced it all the time, I would say, or as we try each day. I call it trying to find a mindful way every day and whatever that word is. But I thank you for giving your space and time to each one of us listening.
Oh, well, thank you so much for having me. My pleasure. My blessings to everybody.
Thanks again.
Thanks for listening to Mindfully Integrative with Dr. Damaris G. Make sure you subscribe so you don't miss an episode. If you enjoyed our show, support us by leaving a mindful review on Apple Podcasts or your favorite streaming site. If you would like to be a guest of our show or interview, email us at info@damarismaria.com. If you want to learn more about the resources mentioned in the podcast, you can find those in the show notes. To connect mindfully with Dr. Damaris G., reach her at www.damarismaria.com or connect via social media links. We appreciate your time connecting here with us. May your strength and peace within bring you more balance every day. Namaste.